of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel 6. I'm on this series here for 3 weeks on decisions. I'm going to talk here more and more about some major Bible characters, how they faced some tough decisions in life, and how God brought them through to actually have ongoing victories even beyond the grave. And we're actually talking about these characters even today, thousands of years later. They're still impacting the lives of people, even governments, because what they did in laying down some principles of wisdom to come through these problems in the right way, the godly way, they're actually giving wisdom to businessmen, to Christians and believers, to people of all stratus of society, even to this day. I'm going to talk this morning here about Daniel facing the lion's den. Last time I spoke here, I talked about Esther, about how God wants us to become heroes, not just celebrities. How God's got a bigger plan for us than just receiving the applause of men. We are upon this earth to receive, the Bible says, the applause of heaven. The Bible talks about how when even one person comes to Christ as Lord and Savior, all of the angels of heaven actually applaud and go into a party mode, celebrating the fact that now one who is lost is now found and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I appreciate Jesse sharing this morning here some things about what he does here in a short way. We'll talk more about this in the new year, but Jesse's going to help us out a lot to have some real practical wisdom in the realm of finances, the realms of saving, the realms of looking at the right kinds of insurances, perhaps. This is not, again, things for his own benefit, it's for the benefit of people in our congregation, because we're having many, many people. He told me at lunch a few days ago that 70% of all Americans today don't have any more than $5,000 or have less than $5,000 in savings. That's 70% of our nation. And you can see how that's very, very dangerous as time goes by. When a crisis occurs, we need to have something there in a practical realm to be able to tap into besides our credit cards in these last days. Amen? And so there'll be some things he'll share with us from God's Word, Scriptures, and things he's learned about in the realm of finances that I hope you'll take time for in the new year for those 3 weeks on a Sunday morning at about 9 o'clock. We'll be teaching on that, also probably a Wednesday night service as well. But in this series, these Bible characters, again, give us some truths about, again, how God helped them to change the culture they were in and bring forth what looked like disaster into a realm of victory, a realm of breakthrough, and a realm of God working mightily in their behalf. This morning, I'm going to talk about Daniel and the lion's den, primarily in the fact that we're going through a time in our culture right now and around the nations as well where right is becoming wrong and wrong is becoming right. And how do we live as believers and Christians in a world where right is becoming more and more wrong and wrong is becoming more and more right? What is our response going to be to that? I think we learned some things this morning from God's Word, from Daniel himself, his life, because he faced some things that were wrong, but he chose to do right. And some things that were right, he chose to do wrong in the sight of the people that he worked with or worked around in that government. And we'll see some things from Daniel chapter 6 about this as well. We're going to be looking also here at a character in the Bible who found himself in very, very difficult moments, but also did the right thing in those difficult moments in his life. The background of Daniel is, Daniel, of course, came from the Jews. He came from Israel in a thing called Babylonian captivity as a young man. He lived there and served under a king, Nebuchadnezzar, for many, many years until the Persians come along. And, of course, they conquered him. And I told you guys 2 weeks ago, the Persians were not like the Babylonians. They were actually a very, very genteel people. They were very kind. They were very considerate. They were mannerly in many ways. They believed in kind of a democracy type of a kingship or rulership in their place they were at in some ways. And they also believed in having the rights of people around them being honored. And so many Jews chose to stay right there in the place where the Persians ruled the land. Well, as time goes by, the Bible says that Daniel, in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, became actually one of three leaders, prime ministers, over all of Persia. Now, the Persian Empire, again, was so big, it spread from India clear over to Western Africa. The entire known world was under the control and rulership of the king of Persia at this time in this era. The Bible says there was 120 states, 120 regions, and there were three prime ministers over those 120 regions. Of those three prime ministers, Daniel did so great, was so awesome, so mighty, and so wise with God's anointing, God's help. He was one of the three primary leaders of all of Persia and the known world in that era and in that time. I believe God's got people even today right here for Austin, for Texas, for America. More and more, I believe, Spirit-filled, born-again Christian believers to take positions of authority in these last days. Amen. Praise God. Again, you're praying for that. You're voting for that. You're believing God to see leaders put in key places of authority in our Board of Education, in our public schools, in our military, in the White House, in the Pentagon. May that happen more and more by the prayers of God's people in this hour. Amen. I'm going to encourage you guys to pray, because I have seen prayer changes things in a nation. Daniel, what strikes up my mind about him is he was a man of prayer. The Bible says three times a day he would throw open the windows of the place he lived at. He would face towards Jerusalem. He would give praise and thanks and glory to God and pray to God about things to pray about three times every single day. Daniel chapter 6 now, reading in verse 3 on the screen here as well as these verses, New King James Version. It says, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over all the entire realm of his kingdom." So here's this guy named Daniel is finally doing so well as prime minister. The other two ungodly pagan prime ministers are about to lose their job and be laid off, and Daniel is going to take their place as things are going right now in this kingdom. I found in the natural realm, if you want somebody to actually hate you, who's a person of ambition, just do one of three things. And that is have more, know more, and do more. If you have more, know more, and do more, ambitious people will automatically start not liking you pretty much around you. But God says, nevertheless, be like Daniel was and do have more and do know more and do more. Because through that, God's kingdom will advance in us and through us. Amen. The Bible said about Jesus Christ, says what? It says he had an excellent spirit and he grew in stature and nature with God and favor with God and man upon the earth. And we are like Jesus Christ himself. I believe that God has for you guys bonuses. He has raises. He has promotions. If you have an excellent spirit like Daniel had, you are going to be recognized by your bosses, your employers, and folks around you. And God will bring promotions to your life in Jesus' name. I've seen our own son, Daniel. I'm very proud of him. Our son, Daniel's not here very much because of the job he has and his sleep habits he's got and so forth. But he's now about 31 years old. He began on the bottom rung of the ladder at Apple Computer several years ago. He's now found himself becoming a supervisor just last week there. And I've just seen him going up, up, up and climbing this ladder, not by trying to take and suck up to folks and do things in kind of a natural, fleshy type realm, but by doing what we told him to do years ago. I said, we told him, serve people around you. Be the best, be polite to them, be nice to them, have manners towards them, but also help them out and serve the folks around you, and God will lift you up in due time. And he said, I'm amazed to see how the people around me are saying, Daniel, we like talking to you. We like being around you. You've got manners. You're polite. You don't belittle us. You don't talk down to us. You're kind to be around. And through all that, the bosses have seen him at Apple Computer. He's now a supervisor in the place he's at. And I praise God for that. The same thing is going to happen for you and I in greater measure as we do like Daniel himself did. The Bible said he had an excellent spirit every day of his life. This guy's in captivity. This guy's a slave. This guy's nation has been conquered, but he still has an excellent spirit. Take note of that. That's what God has for you and I as well. The other two prime ministers now are trying to find a way to get rid of Daniel. So the Bible kind of in its own modern way says they begin to audit Daniel's books. They do a background check on him. They do a police background check on him. They check his cable at nighttime to see what he's watching at nighttime late at night. They watch you look at his checkbook register. They take and do all they can do about his own family, his household. They check things. They get a private eye on his tail to watch him behind the scenes, trying to find something wrong with Daniel. You think he's going to be running for governor is what it kind of sounds like. Trying to find something wrong with Daniel. And the fact is they found nothing wrong with him at all except for one thing. He served the Lord God Jehovah with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. And they said, we must find a way to use his religion and his walk with God against him. So what did they do? They said, you know, the fear that the king of Persia has, his kingdom is so vast and so spread out that he cannot have a unity among his nations, and it causes him to have fear and sometimes even lose sleep at night. Let us make a decree that only the king will be worshipped as a god for the next 30 days. That will also calm his fears. It'll bring forth divine unity to Persia. It'll also cause Daniel to get his head cut off, hopefully. Because Daniel will not serve the pagan gods and will not bow his knee to a king or a human. We know his God does not allow that. So they go to the king of Persia. The king of Persia says, I like that idea. That sounds good to me. For the next 30 days, if any man bows down to anyone but the king of Persia, he shall be thrown into the lion's den and he shall be killed. They set it up. Everybody prays about this themselves, praying to only the God who's the king himself for the next 30 days. It became a law, the Bible says, of the Medes and of the Persians. And the law of the Medes and Persians was so strong, even the king himself could not go against the edict of the law of the Medes and the Persians. Once it became law, nobody could take and repeal that law. It had to go follow through. The punishment must be meted out, and it must be obeyed at the cost even of your own life. So here's now Daniel the prophet. What's he going to do? Well, of course, the Bible said he makes a decision. He goes to his house, throws open all the windows, faces Jerusalem, and keeps right on praying to the God of Israel, the God Lord Jehovah, the God Almighty. He will not bow his knee to the king at all. And now he's going to face the consequences of being thrown into the lion's den. The Bible says the king loved Daniel. The king liked Daniel. The king needed Daniel. And the king became distressed and distraught. And he says, okay, Daniel, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. I just hope that maybe, somehow maybe, your God can show up and save your life. He's probably thinking, I doubt that he can. My God can't do that. My God would not do that. My God let me die at the paws and the claws and the teeth of these lions. So your God probably do the same thing also. But maybe, somehow maybe, you will be spared. The Bible says the night goes by, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And it says that king stayed up all night long worrying about Daniel, but Daniel just slept on the back of some lion's belly for a pillow, very likely, having no fear at all. Because Daniel said, I died a long time ago. When I chose to serve my God, my flesh, my body, my will, my kingdom died right there. And now I do live, the life I do now live, I live by faith in God himself. I'm like a dead man every day, but I will not bow my knee to a demon or a pagan god. I will serve the Lord my God only, and him only will I serve. So Daniel had no second thoughts. He had no qualms. He said, throw me in. If I become a lion, breakfast or lunch or dinner, so be it. But I will serve only the Lord my God. You like Daniel, amen? Daniel chapter 6, verse 21 goes on. 21 and 22 says this. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before God, before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong even before you. Notice that Daniel does not take and rebel against the order. He submits to it. I said, I give myself to it. I'm a man under authority. I'm a man of submission. If God saves me, God saves me. If God does not, so be it. The good news is the angels of God showed up. Teaching on angels Wednesday nights. They shut the lion's mouths, as they can do if God allows that, and spared their lives. The Bible says Daniel is now set free. His accusers are now gathered up and their families and their kids. They're thrown into the lion's den themselves now. And suddenly the lions revisit their appetites, come back somehow. And all these people are eaten. And the Bible says even before their bodies could hit the floor of the den, they crushed their bones, tore them apart, killed them, and ate them very fast. God is a God who brings recompense, and God brings forth his wrath upon people who come against the people of God. I praise God that God's a God of mercy and kindness, but God's also a God of judgment. When God needs to do things, things happen fast against the powers of darkness. Amen? We're going to give you guys today five take-home points. These are five things to write down and think about. What can we learn about Daniel chapter 6, and things about his life concerning America and the world's culture we live in today? Because we're facing, and our young folks also are facing, some very, very strong giants and mountains right now. And there will be decisions made by the body of Christ in the years ahead that will be very, very difficult to make if things keep going the way they're going today in our government, in our culture and the cultures of the nations of the earth. Okay, so take some notes down today if you have, can do that also. Number one is, the fact is we are in a firefight. We are in a firefight. Firefights happen in wars where guys have machine guns, guys have mortars, guys have pistols and guns and bullets. And we are Christians, believers in the world that are in a firefight. There's bullets whizzing around us every single day. But the Bible does tell us our fight's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. Amen. But the fact is you are in a firefight upon the earth. There's a law that says if you pray, you die, you're in a firefight. Amen. Daniel was in a firefight. You and I are in a firefight today ourselves. The moment you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you actually pick up three enemies the day you receive Jesus Christ in your life. What are those three enemies called? The Bible calls them the flesh, the world, and the devil. Those are your three enemies automatically by default. When Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life, the devil, the flesh, and the world become your enemies automatically. Let's spend some time on this. The devil, first of all, he is, again, a being that's not omnipresent. The Bible calls him a fallen angel. I believe he's one of the three main archangels in heaven, along with Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, becomes the devil, becomes Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And because Satan is not omnipresent, the Bible indicates there's one-third of all the angels fell with him when he actually found himself kicked out of heaven. Those are now called demon spirits upon the earth today. So Satan's a great networker. He's got networks of demons, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in cities, neighborhoods, families, nations all over the earth. It also indicates to us in the Bible that angels can travel at the speed of light. And so this network goes on very fast and very quick. So it appears like Satan is omnipresent, but he's not. He only can be one place at one time. But he can network through demon forces around him in realms of authority there, and they somehow work together to bring things that kill and steal and destroy upon the face of the earth. That's why, again, when demons come together and can cause tornadoes and cause earthquakes and cause floods or whatever else, we as the body of Christ, the Bible says, we must be those who stand in the gap and push back those powers of darkness in Jesus' name. Amen? Do not ever call demonic, destructive acts of nature and devils acts of God. God has not come to bring earthquakes and floods and famines and droughts and things like that. That is the work of Satan, demons, and darkness and the fallen world around us, okay? Number two is the flesh. How many folks know that we have a enemy that's called our own fallen flesh, inherited from a man whose name was Adam 6,000 years ago? This guy falls back in the Garden of Eden, and we receive now the Adamic fallen nature inside of us. And we find now today that you don't need to teach babies or kids how to steal or cheat or become jealous or not share or lose their tempers or get angry and kick their sisters. Those things just kind of come automatically to them by the sin, fleshly nature passed through Adam's sin years and years ago. Amen? So we battle this flesh also in this life. Number three is the world. When I say the world, I don't mean our battles against human beings or against the nations around us. It's actually against the cultures of the nations of the earth. The world's cultures are not godly. They're not Christ-like. They're not of the Lord. They're of a fallen nature as well. And so when you go to a place and do missions work, ministry work overseas in Europe or Asia or Africa, or India, even America itself, you're going against a culture that is not going to be lining up with the Word of God itself. That's why we must say, Father God, give me the wisdom of your Spirit to know how to go into this culture, this neighborhood, this nation, and have somehow an impact here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way, God, that's effective and lasting and brings breakthroughs in Jesus' name. I just talked to a young man 2 days ago at McDonald's, having some coffee with him, that I met this guy for the first time, a friend of our son Daniel's. He's in his early 30s. They're doing a very, very exciting thing. This year they went to Honduras and had a thing that was called, Can a Nation Be Changed in One Day? They went to Honduras and did 1 week of assemblies in public schools with skits, things about anti-drug, anti-alcohol, not getting pregnant and having sex before marriage, things like Real Life did themselves in ministry across this city and this state as well years ago. They also did another group went out and did some ministry to businessmen that were Christians, talked to them about godly principles and so forth in that realm. Another group went out there and did medical missions at the same time. Then the very last day, on a Sunday, they rented out 15 auditoriums across Honduras, and they packed those out with people across the nation. And they said thousands and tens of thousands showed up because the very president got behind that and invited the folks to come on television, on radio, said, please come to the auditoriums. Let's hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They said tens of thousands received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in one day. And the very next month, their crime went down 30% right across Honduras. And they found also neighborhoods getting cleaned up. They said good things took place in practical realms, spiritual realms, soulish realms. And they said, now next year in July, we're going to reach the Dominican Republic next to Haiti with the same type initiative once again. That man will be speaking here on a Wednesday night in December. And I hope that you guys will pray about getting on board for the initiative there. Can a nation be changed in a day for Dominican Republic even next year as well? What I'm saying is, again, the world has cultures that can only be penetrated in good ways by the power of Almighty God. But the good news is the power of Almighty God will penetrate demonic cultures and cause them to come tumbling down by those who pray, those who believe, those who pray the price and say, Father God, by your might, by your power, by your spirit, may these strongholds come down in Jesus' name. I'm praying the culture of Austin changes for the better in 2015. Amen. You know, right now we got to be excited because we have some great churches God is raising up in this city right now. And they're not here by accident. They're here because God's got a people that want to praise Him, that want to worship Him, that want to pray to Him, that want to talk about Him, then go out to the streets and the highways and byways of life and reach their neighbors for Jesus. May 2015 be a year for evangelism, for soul winning, for harvest, and for increased prayer among God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says this. For all that is in the world is these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It says, it's not of the Father, but it all is of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. These three things have to do with these three statements. I want what I see. I want what feels good. And look at me. I want what I see. I want what feels good. And look at me. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God says these are the three things that exist in the world system around us. We that are believers must believe these three things don't conquer us, don't rule us. We conquer them in Jesus' name. First with us, then with them in the name of Jesus as they receive Christ as Lord and Savior also in their lives. This is where Daniel's at. In Daniel's life, the devil's coming to him, trying to get rid of him. Here comes Satan. Then number two, the culture says, well, Daniel, if you bow down to your God and pray to him, not to our king, you're going to go in the lion's den and get your own body torn up and eaten by lions. Then number three, he says himself in his own flesh, he says, well, I've been serving God now. I'm 80 years old. I'm getting older. God is now saying to me at age 80, go into a lion's den and perhaps even die and be eaten there because you will not bow down to the king. I just feel old. I just feel tired. I'm just feeling worn out. Where is the justice in this, oh God? His own flesh, I'm sure, is rising up and asking questions like this. But praise God, the Bible says God sent his angel. He shut the lion's mouth. God is faithful. God shows up. God strengthens us. And Daniel does not miss a beat. He keeps right on praying the Lord his God, regardless of his life being in danger. The question is, what decision do you make when you're in a culture where wrong is right, right is wrong? And doing the right thing may actually cost your life or put you in jeopardy or put you in danger of losing money or prestige or friends or stuff or promotions. What is your decision going to be if you must choose wrong over right or face some adverse circumstances otherwise? Number two, second thing we see Daniel about his life we can learn from him is this. We live in a world, again, where increasingly right is wrong and wrong is right. That's happening increasingly around us more and more and more. I saw just last week, they're now opening up one of the main churches the National Church of America in Washington, D.C., to Islam. They're now having Muslims come in there and do their prayers, their services there, saying we are now an equal nation, not just a Christian nation. May Muslims also come in here to partake of our buildings to worship in those places as well. There's great wars being fought all over our whole nation right now today about prayer in schools, about the Ten Commandments in public places, about the word Christmas being used across the country in a free way. In God we trust on the back of our dollar bills. The gay agenda is being pushed across this entire country in greater and greater measure by force by the federal government as the days and weeks are going by. Our nation, we got to wake up and smell the coffee and realize what is wrong is being called right. What is right is being called wrong more and more, and it's not stopped yet. We've only seen the beginnings of what's going to be happening to us in the years ahead. You say, what about the great revival? What about the great outpouring? What about the spotless bride? Those things are all true, but the Bible says sin must abound, that grace can also then more abound. But sin will abound, but grace will more abound. So I'm believing God to be a Daniel in these last days and not compromise my values, my position, my walk with God. No matter what my nation says is wrong or right, I see what God says is wrong and right. And I'll follow that. Amen. It's getting more and more to where the most dangerous thing in the world to be is a God follower. Take a high school student and go to the average public school at graduation and have him pray a dedication in Jesus' name and see what happens. He'll be escorted out in handcuffs, probably thrown in jail and put on the front page of the paper, this guy's a hater. How dare he talk about Jesus only in front of all these other religions and peoples that are in this convocation here of graduation this day. In many scenarios, if you voice your biblical values, your family values, your financial values, your marriage values, your moral values that are based on God's word, you'll be called a hate monger. You'll be called intolerant. You'll be called narrow-minded. You'll be called a bigot. You'll be called one who causes trouble. But the funny thing is, the very folks that do that to us, they give us hatred. They are narrow-minded. They are bigots. And they're trying to get their ways forced onto us. It only works one way, it seems like. Isn't that kind of odd and kind of strange? Now, why is that? Because the devil's a deceiver. The devil blinds unbelievers. They can't even see what they're even doing. And so don't expect any more than that. They don't know any better. Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. So realize that, but don't take it. Don't lay down and become passive. Pray against it. Be nice, be kind, be good. But don't just lay down and just take all the guff the world throws at us. This comes from devils themselves. Amen? Jesus told us, go the second mile. He preached tolerance. He preached forgiveness. So what about that? Well, this came from the law that took place back 2,000 years ago when Jesus said the words, if a man says, walk with me 1 mile, walk with him 2 miles, what happened back then was the Roman soldiers were very oppressive. They were very proud, very arrogant. When they found a young Jewish young man, they would say, young man, the law says you must carry my pack for me 1 mile. So the Jewish young men, in rebellion, anger, and frustration, they marked out a mile from the place they lived at and put little white tent pegs all around for 1 mile circle around their houses. So when Roman soldiers did this to them, they would get that 1 mile to the peg and drop their pack down and say, there, I walked 1 mile. There you go. Well, Jesus said, now I say to you, when a man says walk 1 mile, you need to walk 2 miles. What's he saying there is? He says your attitude is wrong. You're going to win one soldier to Christ acting like that. He says walk with a man 2 miles. What Daniel's saying to us on this whole thing is, he's saying to the people there that are the pagan rulers around him, he's saying, I will learn your culture. I will learn your language. I'll learn your mathematics. I'll teach your kids. I'll serve you. I'll have an excellent spirit and do the best I can do every day of my life for you. But in matters to God's word, I will not bend one inch or go one inch beyond what God's word says. I'll serve you. I'll be excellent. I'll work hard. I'll get up early and go to bed late. I'll learn your culture, your language. I'll teach your kids. But I will not go one inch against the word of my God. That must be our attitudes as well. Amen. I'm saying be kind to folks around you, be tolerant of them, go the second mile, turn the other cheek, forgive them, love them, but don't do anything to go against what God's word says in your values, your lives, and the truths upon the earth. Amen. God gives us power to do that, I believe, as well. We as believers want to be loving, we want to be kind, we want to be just and tolerant. But if we carry this through to the wrong extreme, we're going to find ourselves in Daniel's situation saying, well, you know, 30 days isn't that long. I'll go ahead and just kind of be quiet, be silent, not even pray to God, or just pray a silent prayer with my window shut the next 30 days. I want to kind of ride both sides of the fence here and not offend anybody or be a hate monger upon the earth. No, Daniel was told by God, you pray three times a day, you open your windows up, you face Jerusalem, you don't become ashamed of the gospel that's in your life. Daniel would not bow and bend one inch, and God honored him for that in his life. The question this morning is, when I'm asked to decide between following God's word or following the culture around me, I need to ask myself, do I want to follow the one who writes the rules, or do I want to follow the one who made the lions? That's a question. Do I want to follow the ones who make the rules around me, my culture, or do I want to follow the one who made the lions? Because he can shut their mouths. He can drive them back. Your culture can't do that. Your government can't do that. The world can't do that. Only God can do that. I want to follow the one who made the lions, not the ones that are humans that are making the rules in ungodly fashions around us. And so the question is, when I'm asked to decide between following God's word or following the world around me, I pray you'll always decide I must follow God's word and not just follow disobedient things being put as laws around me upon the earth. As the world around us becomes more anti-God and more anti-Christian, more anti-Jesus, we must increasingly live a life to where the only thing people can find wrong with us is our walk with God. Amen? As our world becomes more anti-Jesus, may they only find wrong with us things concerning our God in us who works through us in Jesus' name. Number three, Daniel also shows us don't lose the cutting edge. As we get older and older in life, I'm still a middle-aged person. I'm a baby boomer on the very, very tail end of the baby boomer, so I'm very young. Baby boomer, amen. I still feel like I'm in my 20s or 30s, I believe, and I know that as well. And I'm praying to God I can keep my brown hair and keep some hair and keep on running and playing tennis and doing things like I need a dirt bike to also kind of loosen up eventually, but Cheryl doesn't agree with that as well, but I agree. What I'm saying is, as we get older, the tendency for us is to get milder, to mellow out, become mellow. I've fought my fights. I've fought my battles. I need to kind of lay back on my laurels here and kind of rest and just kind of take a retirement pill every day and not shake the powers of darkness around me. Don't cause them trouble. Have a detente with the devil himself. And God is saying, look at Daniel. Daniel's 80 years old and does not do this. No, you can find us grandparents. I'm a grandparent now of 2 years. Young August, of course, our grandson through Kristen. I find myself, how we actually tolerate more in our grandparent age than our parenting age. Because back when I had our first son named Daniel 30-some years ago, I was always watching Daniel. Daniel, don't touch that. Daniel, don't break that. Don't throw that. You're going to throw the ball. You're going to break that thing for the $100. What's wrong with you, Daniel? Now little August is here. We got Lincoln Logs on the floor, and I'm making catapults, and I'm flipping Lincoln Logs all over the house. I'm saying, what's this, little August? Boom! The thing goes flying through the air here, hits the dog, hits the stereo there, hits whatever. August is laughing, rolling in the floor. It's just great. So all I want is to see him laugh. I just want to see him smile and laugh. Whatever he breaks, praise God, we can replace it hopefully. But when Cheryl's in there saying, Michael, quit that. Whatever you do, he does. You're teaching him bad habits. And so see, as grandparents, we tolerate a whole lot more than we did as parents. And God says that can actually work against you in the realms of the spirit. Amen? As you get older, don't retire, refire. Amen in Jesus' name. Amen? Because Satan will always be against us. And God's saying, do not tolerate things today. You did not tolerate in times past, because God changes not. Amen. Let's look at three verses here on the screen behind me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this, I am the Lord, and I do not change. We must realize that people age, but truth doesn't. Amen? 1 Samuel 15:29 says this, and also the strength of Israel, God, will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent or quit or go backwards. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says this, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forevermore. We're living in a time where we're seeing a lot of culture and value changes around us all the time taking place. And we hear folks saying to us, well, our culture is just evolving into a higher plane. You see, the new thing we're doing now and allowing, that's actually advancement, and that's actually evolution, and it's actually good. They're calling bad good and good bad. The fact is, we're not evolving, we're revolving. What we're going towards is the days of Lot, the days of Noah, the days of the Roman Empire, the days of the Chaldeans, the days of the Canaanites. These guys all did the same things we are going towards morally in our country today. We're not evolving, we are revolving. We're not going forwards, we're going backwards. We're going through degeneration as far as our morals, our values are concerned. And God is saying to us today, let's not jump on the revolving door of the world's culture around us. Let's keep on God's kingdom's values, what his truths are. May they ever, ever permeate our lives. Be honored, be adored, be worshipped, be lauded, be talked about, be taught to our sons and grandsons and daughters and granddaughters in Jesus' name. We are not progressing when our values get further and further away from God's truths. You know, our music will change, our hair will change, our cars will change, our food will even change around us. But God's word, just like gravity, just like seed time and harvest, just like the principles of aging, those things never change. God's word remains the same. Amen? Three amens. Praise God. Don't buy into your own humanistic doctrines. Amen. Number four, be established now in your conviction. This is very, very important. I want you to write that down. Think about that. Be established now. November the 16th, 2014, be established now in your convictions. When you're in a firefight and you have to make a decision because the signs have been switched, right is now wrong, wrong is now right, and doing the right thing means you have yourself in jeopardy now, how are you going to make a decision in that time? This is what Daniel faced himself. You see, Daniel didn't have a whole lot of warning. They didn't put a paper, newspaper press out and say, next week, there'll be men coming to your door and saying, either bow down to the king or face the lion's den. It came in 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 day. He had no preparation for that. So what does Daniel do? Daniel said himself, if I prayed yesterday, I'll pray today. Because I've already set my face like flint to make the right decision. When crisis comes, I am already ready for it in God's name, God's help, and God's grace. Let's see what it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 19 or verse 10 about this. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing had been signed into law, he went home. He goes to his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He kneels down on his knees. Three times a day he prayed and he gave thanks before the Lord his God, as was his custom since early days. That's what God's saying to you and I. You must set convictions in your life today to face future crisis down the road. Amen. That's why, again, the Bible says there's 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, because 5 of them were prepared for the bridegroom taking a whole long time to come. You know, many believers right now are discouraged. They say, well, I was told that Jesus Christ would come back 15, 20 years ago, and he hadn't come back yet. And now my oil has just run out, because my oil has totally been upon Jesus Christ coming back, rapture, antichrist, mark of the beast. Now my oil's run dry. But the 5 wise virgins stored their oil up. And they said, I don't care how long the bridegroom takes, I am ready for the wait. Amen? That's what God's saying to you and I as well in this hour. When you have a sudden, critical decision to make in life, Your habits will make the decision for you. When you've always already done what you can do, you're going to find yourself doing what you've always done in the past when crisis comes in your path. Daniel is facing a crisis. So what's he going to be doing about that? The Bible says he kneels down and he prays as was his custom. The habits we form in life are far more important than we think that they are. On the screen here, I've written down four elements, four truths about habits. I want you to write these things down if you would. These are four statements about habits. Number one, habits declare your values. I will know your values by your habits. If you tell me that you're a prayer warrior, you'll have a praying habit in your life. Amen? Also, habits underscore values. They underscore values. Number three, you can check out your values with your habits. And then number four, when you come to a crisis point, let your habits make the decisions. What God is saying to us is, it's important for us to be forming godly habits before January the 1st, 2015. I'm saying make New Year resolutions every year if you want to do that, but please, above everything else, let's get some godly habits in our lives and follow them in discipline in Jesus' name. The word disciple is where we get the word discipline from, and we need more Christian disciplines in our lives. Amen? We need that. Not for law, for works, religion, because it's life-giving and prepares us for even crisis down the road. Amen? I promise you guys, there is crisis coming to this planet like you've never seen before. The Bible says that. I'm saying get right now. Get your oil jugs filled now. Not when crisis comes, but I'm saying now when crisis comes, you're ready for it. Amen? And if you got to put your head on a chopping block, get your head cut off, God will give you grace to get your head cut off in that hour. But I'm saying be filled with oil now that God may rescue you, deliver you, or see you through death even if need be in your life. Number five, last of all, godly decisions won't just cause us to win, they will change the game. You will not just win, you will actually change the very game of the culture you're living in. I heard Pastor Ron Carpenter talk on TBN to Dwight. What's Dwight's last name? The guy that's got the kind of curly hair that's getting older now, that's an evangelist. Yeah, that's right, Dwight Thompson. This guy named Ron Carpenter is a powerful pastor, evangelist, teacher out there in South Carolina. He gave a great truth that I wanted to give us one little nugget of that today. He said and talked about in John chapter 11, when Jesus Christ goes to heal Lazarus from the dead, Jesus told the disciples, they said to him, Lazarus, your friend, is sick. Jesus says, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to go right now. I'm going to wait longer and go later on. He goes from sickness, the Bible says, to death, goes behind the tomb, gets sealed in there, and now the Bible says when Jesus Christ finally does show up, 4 days has gone by, and his body's decomposing. He's been dead for a long time. Then Jesus shows up. What Ron Carpenter said that I never heard before was this. John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He didn't say you'll see Lazarus, your brother, get raised from the dead. You'll see a miracle. He said you will see the glory of God. What he said that rang true with me, well, he said you got to realize that in the glory of God, Jesus Christ had already done lots of healings and miracles. They'd all seen that level of glory all around the place he ministered at. They'd not seen the level of glory of the dead being raised alive after 4 days behind in a tomb. So Jesus said, I want more glory released on the earth. I'm going to let Lazarus not just be sick. I'm going to let him die. I'm going to let him rot for 4 days. Then I'm going to show up, raise him up, that more glory gets released by the miracle I do in God's name upon the earth. And what he said to us was, God sometimes will not do things as fast as you want him to because God wants to release more glory when the answer finally comes. Amen? Now, God didn't give Lazarus sickness. God did not kill Lazarus, but Jesus Christ shows up at the last minute to get more glory for God by the miracle. Let's look here at Daniel chapter 6, verse 25, as James, come back to the platform here to help me out here, as you would please. Daniel 6, 25 through 27 says, "Then King Darius wrote this, to all the peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you." You see, it's more glory, more peace. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the Lord God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered also Daniel from the power of the lions." It goes on and on. It talks about how in verse 28 it says here, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." You see how he was not only delivered from the lion's den, he actually received more glory, more favor, more recognition, more promotion, and God got the glory over all the kingdoms of Persia in that hour. That's what God's after. Not just your miracle, not just your healing, not just you getting changed yourself, but you changing people around you by the glory God looses in your life in Jesus' name. The question we need to ask ourselves today, in the time of making decisions that may cost us something, is, do I want to put my life in the hands of those who make the laws or in the hands of the one who makes the lions? Who do I want to put my hands, my life in the hands of in these last days? Let's bow our head right now in a moment. Close our eyes for a moment here as well. We're going to pray today. In God's kingdom, outsiders have a strange way of becoming insiders. Insiders have a strange way of becoming outsiders. Because God takes the ways of the wicked, the Bible says, and turns them upside down. The stark reality this morning for us is we're living in a world that is getting more and more cold towards God, and becoming more anti-Jesus every day as far as the major populations are concerned upon most nations of the earth. My hope is for everybody here today, if you ever face a lion's den situation in your life, you will choose the one who controls the lions over the one who controls the laws of our nations and our cultures in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray, Lord, this day that you be the one who gives us, Lord, an ability and a desire to see that our cups are full to overflowing. Because, Father God, your word says, seek first my kingdom, seek first my righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you automatically. And that doesn't just mean houses and retirement and lands and money and jobs. It talks also about anointings, protections, guidance, wisdom, counsel, favor, influence. All these things shall be added to us if we seek first the kingdom of God. I pray, God, this day that you would help us have the ability and desire to say, Lord, I want to be prepared today, this day, this hour, this year, no matter what crisis this nation, this city, this world may face in the days and weeks and months ahead, my cup is filled to overflowing. I have no fear because perfect love casts down all fear. I praise you, God, this day. I have values. I have truth. I will walk in them, live in them, teach them, speak of them, and I will never leave you, God, or forsake you myself, because you won't leave me nor forsake me. And I praise you, God, that you are the God who gives strength, peace, and deliverance in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, one moment longer, if there's one person today that says, Pastor Mike, I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life for the first time, and I want to follow him with all my heart and life. Because the biggest decision we make is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no bigger decision than that. That is your eternity. There may be also those that are here whose hearts are away from God. You found yourself kind of getting back in the realms of your flesh, in the realms of what the world does is more important, in the realms of your priorities being totally changed away from things of God toward things of your kingdom and things of your desires and things of your lust, perhaps, and your habits. If you want to today receive prayer, be prayed for, and believe God today that God will take be your Lord, be your God, be your Savior, be the one who gives you His peace, His strength, His love, His presence. I want you to be very, very bold this morning where you're at, where our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for prophecy's sake only. Just raise your hand right now and say, Pastor Mike, I want to be prayed for today to accept Christ in my life or to get my heart right with God today. If there's one like that, please raise your hand. Anybody like that at all today that wants prayer today? We'll take time for this. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I praise you, God. There's people here whose hearts are so weighted down by the pressures of life, the responsibilities, oh God, their families, and the place they work at, the school they go to. The Lord God, they just say, my focus cannot be upon things of your kingdom at this time. I pray, God, we would choose this day to set our priorities upon the kingdom of God first. And say, Father God, may all the other things around us come in line after I come in line with your word, your kingdom, your ways, your love, your heart in my life. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God that hears, the God that answers, and the God that fills my life in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you all to stand to your feet now, if you would, please. I'm going to ask Jack to go ahead and help me out at the end of the service here to dismiss us once again, if you would, at the end of the service. We're living in a time and a season. Wrong is becoming right. Right's becoming wrong in many circles. That's why it's so important to read your Bible for yourself. Be in churches. Be hearing the truths. Be watching Christian programs. Be hearing Christian music. Because these things speak truth. These things speak life. These things will dispel darkness and lies and deceptions. Amen? And also I'm saying reach out to people around you who need the love of God in you to go in them. Because there's so many hurting people who need Jesus in their lives. May God use all of us this week to be His mouth, His hands, His feet to people at work, neighborhoods around us who need what we've got in Jesus' name. If you can, come back Wednesday night. Help us out to decorate here. Great time of fellowship as well. May God bless you this week. And we're going to pray every day that God's going to use all of us for His glory. There's still a sign-up sheet, I guess, for food for next week as well. And there's meals also to sign up for Mary Monchaca. Needs a few meals for Richard back there in the back as well. Amen. So if you can sign up for those things, I think they're all back here, the information. We'll go see Sylvia. Okay, over here is Sylvia. God bless you, folks. Have a great week. Thank you, Jack, if you help us out here and dismiss us in prayer.
Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. And Father, we thank you for a very encouraging word this day. Father, I ask that that word would be sown deep in our hearts and our minds, that we would understand how important our decisions are, Lord God. And Father, that our decisions, as the pastor preached, would be made in advance so we would not be faced with a situation where we don't know what to do. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know what your word says. Sow that in our hearts and our minds. Father, and we know that the spirit that resides within us is the very hope for mankind. So I stir it up in us, Lord God. Help us to walk in your truth. And I pray that your peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds as we go throughout our weeks. In Jesus' name.